From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to welcome you today to this service of Let the Bible Speak. Let us pray for the Lord's blessing upon it. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for who thou art, the true and the living God. We thank thee for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, in love for us, that had sent into this world to live that perfect life that we would never live, and then to go to the cross at Calvary and to pay the debt for our sin, shedding his precious blood as the God-man and crying out and declaring that our debt of sin is finished. Rising from the dead the third day, we thank that he now lives in the power of an endless life, seated at thy right side, ever living and making intercession for us, praying that we would be sanctified through thy truth, through thy word, which is thy truth. And I pray that today, in every aspect of this service, that thou wouldst pour out thy blessing. Sanctify us, we pray. Set apart those who are lost unto thyself. Set apart us who are saved more and more unto thyself. Show us thy beloved Son by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and change us. Conform us into his image, that we would live for him and love with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind because of him who first loved us. Be with thy servant, Mr. David McCauley, as he will come to bring thy word. May he know thee, giving him great help. And may thy word come forth with thy life and with thy power. In Jesus' name, on the merits of the life he lived and the blood he shed, and for the glory of his name, we ask all these things. Amen. If you could turn with me, please, in the living word of God to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we'll commence our reading at verse 65. Here the psalmist declares, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Amen. And we'll end the reading there at the end of verse 72. Let us sing a song together. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free.
Well, can I thank Mr. Foster just for leading the service for us, and can I just draw your attention back to the verses that he read to us? And as you do so, I'm sure you're all familiar with before and after pictures. You've seen them on social media or on TV or the like. Now, on the one side, you'll have that before picture, the overweight, out of shape individual. And then on the other side, you'll have the after photo. It's a skinnier, more shredded version of the same person. Now, those pictures, of course, are there to draw you in to whatever they're trying to sell you, whether it's a gym membership or whether it's to sign up to some weight loss program. But what you don't see in those pictures, of course, are the hours of training that they had to go through to get there. The money they spent on special diets, the sacrificing of time with from friends or family just to be in the gym, or the exercising of the muscles, the sweat and pain that they had to go through to get to that after picture. So on those before and after pictures, of course, you only see half the story. Well, here in this passage that we've read from Psalm 119, I believe we see something of a before and after picture of the psalmist. And it's given to us from the psalmist himself. Now, the psalmist, though unnamed here in Psalm 119, is widely believed to have been King David. So the difference is, whenever he gives us the picture of what he was like and what he has become, the difference is he also gives us how he has gotten there to be what he has become. If you look at verse 67, it says there, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." He says there, "I was afflicted." It was affliction that really brought the desired results to bringing this psalmist onto the right path. And therefore, he concludes in verse 67, "It was good for me that I have been afflicted." So what I want to do just for some time here is look into verse 67 in particular, and I want us to have a closer look into the psalmist's great transformation. The psalmist's great transformation. First of all, think of the psalmist before the transformation. You'll see there in verse 65, it's inferred there that there was a time in the life of the psalmist that he was without affliction. And I'm sure I don't need to give you too much explanation as to what affliction really means. It's a term we use today regularly. It means it speaks of trials, of difficulties, of the pressures of life. But many might say, well, isn't that a nice place to be? No afflictions, no problems, just going through life at ease. And naturally, of course, that's the way we're geared. No one likes or enjoys affliction. But what's the truth of the matter here for the psalmist? What was he like without the affliction? Well, it says there in verse 67, "Before affliction, I went astray." There was a time in the life of the psalmist where he was at ease. He was comfortable. He was without affliction. But yet he admits to us here it was in those times that he went astray. And if we believe David to be the psalmist here, I'm sure you can straight away think of a very specific time that he might be referring to. If you think of his sin with Bathsheba, it's recorded there in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now you think of David there, he's on his roof, he gets up out of his bed, and he walks across the roof and he catches a glimpse of Bathsheba washing herself. And of course one thing leads to another. There's lust, there's adultery, there's murder, there's a whole cover-up. But where did it all start? It starts with David staying at home to take a time of ease when the others went out fighting in the battle. His desire for comfort was actually his downfall. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have times of relaxation. Everyone needs a break once in a while. But it's this unhealthy desire to be idle, to always desire this time of ease, that actually makes a man or a woman go astray. It can happen. Now, you might think, well, that's a very extreme example you've given in the life of David. But really, if you think of it in your own life experience, how many times has it been sitting in the house, maybe in a time of ease? Maybe there's plenty to be done, but you've decided, well, I'm having a lazy day. I'm just doing nothing today. How many times in those moments, what do we do? Well, I know for my generation, it's get the phone out. You start scrolling. Or maybe it's getting the laptop out. You get the TV on, and there's Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Channel, YouTube, one video after the next. How many times in those moments have we gone astray? Next thing you know, you're looking at something, you're watching something that's inappropriate, something you could have easily avoided if you weren't just so keen on taking a time of ease. So you see, I hope if you were busy about doing something, just something, you wouldn't have had the time to fall into the trap. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, sin is always, in some sense, a life of boredom. Sin is always, in some sense, a life of boredom. And I'm sure we can understand where he's coming from with that statement. Be careful in the moments of ease and boredom. Sin is never too far away. And that's why we have such exhortations like that in Ephesians chapter 5 and 16. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We all have time to spend, but it's how we spend it will set us apart. And so the psalmist, I believe, may be referring to such times as this, times where he was so keen to have a time of ease, to be idle, so much so that he has went astray. So that's the before picture we see there. But secondly, the psalmist after the transformation. If this is the psalmist after picture, what did he look like? Well, in stark contrast to what we've just thought about, contrasted to going astray, the psalmist says, now he keeps God's word. When you think of Psalm 119 as a whole, you're not too far into the psalm before you realize there's a theme to the psalm. And of course, the theme is God's word. One of the key verses you could pick out from the psalm is that verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So you can see here, hopefully already, now the psalmist, in keeping God's word, now he has direction. Before he went astray, now he is on the right path. So how does he describe himself in this way? Well, staying within Psalm 119, we find here 8 times he says that he delights in the word of God. Twice he says that the word of God gives him life, and twice he says that he rejoices in that word. So I hope you get the picture, as it were. Now we see a man who has totally changed. He's transformed. From going astray, now he delights himself in God's word. He delights himself in the life that the word has given. Now, in recognition that it's the word that has brought joy to this psalmist, what was it within the word that he is particularly delighting in? Well, it goes far beyond just the reading of it and trying to understand it and keep it. I believe that what he really delights in is the person of the word. And of course, it's his Messiah, Christ. You see, Christ is key to understanding all of God's word. Some might say, well, you're in the Old Testament, you're in the Psalms, there's no mention of Christ. But again, I say, Christ is key to understanding all of Scripture. Just within Psalm 119, we have many descriptions of God's word, but all of them reveal Christ to us. Just for example, when you think of the law, of course, what did Christ come to do? To fulfill the law. When we think of the Scripture described as God's word, who is Christ known as in the New Testament? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we think of the Word described as God's way, who described himself as the way, the truth, and the life? It's Christ. When we think of the commandments, of course, what do the commandments do for us today? They're as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the key point being here, when we think of our text, once again, we look into this after picture, of course, and what the psalmist is delighting in, it's the person of Jesus Christ. And that has not changed for us today. Maybe you see yourself as one who has gone astray. What's my advice for you tonight? Of course, it is that you get to Christ. Christ is always the answer. Get to the word and let it direct you to Christ. But thirdly, let's think of the psalmist during the transformation. What was it that the psalmist had to go through here? Well, we have it there in 67. It was affliction. He had to go through a time of affliction. And as mentioned in the first point, generally speaking, it's not in a man or a woman to welcome affliction. And it's not the enjoyment of the experience that the psalmist is getting at here either. It's not that we or the psalmist go about looking for every occasion to turn into some painful experience. That's not the point. So why, you might ask, is he under affliction? Well, there's a few reasons I'd like to consider with you. First of all, this affliction is good because of who administers it. The affliction is good because of who is administering it. God, in reality, is the one who is sending the affliction. Now, again, you might say, why? Well, Proverbs 3 and 11, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And I believe that's what the psalmist is referring to here. He has felt the chastening hand of God even through this affliction. But it's not out of some vindictiveness or cruel reason that God would do such a thing. But as Solomon says here, it's out of love. It's the holy heavenly Father sending affliction out of love. Why? To bring him back to himself. Secondly, affliction is good because it brings us to our senses. Before the affliction, the psalmist was either blind to his danger or he was totally indifferent to it. The psalmist needed to be humbled in order to bring him to his senses. And why I say humbled, it is because that term afflicted in the Hebrew can be translated also as humbled. 11 times it's translated that way in the Old Testament. So you could really look at verse 67 and say, before I was humbled, I went astray. Only the humble will accept the chastening of another to admit the wrong and to turn from their ways. But we all know humility is not easily learnt. And so God in mercy will send afflictions our way. Why? To save us from ourselves and our pride and bring us to our senses. But finally, affliction is good ultimately because it brings us to Christ. So here at the close of this message, I want to focus our attention once again on the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, we've already stated that he is ultimately the focus of the word that the psalmist delights so much in. But as believers, our affliction ultimately will always lead us back to Christ. We're thinking of affliction. Well, who was the one who was afflicted more than any other man? It was Christ. We're thinking of being humbled. Who was our greatest example of humility? It's Christ. He was in all points tempted as we are. And that word tempted can also mean afflicted. He was afflicted, he was tempted, he was tested, yet without sin. And so therefore it tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Those of us who are afflicted, those of us who are going through a time of testing, Christ can succor us. That word succor means to aid or bring relief. Of course, we as believers, we should understand that Christ does not bring anything across our paths that he has not himself gone through himself. And therefore, he will not bring anything across our paths that he cannot bring us through. And therefore, it's important in the time of affliction to let that lead you back to Christ, back to him. Maybe you're in a place today, you feel like you're under the rod of Christ's correction. He is using affliction, maybe, to grab your attention. Then will you see it for what it is? He's using it to bring you back to him. So affliction is good because it comes from God. It's good because it's used to bring us to our senses. It's good because it will ultimately lead us back to Christ. And so as we're thinking of this psalmist and the before and after picture of the psalmist, I trust that you've not only seen the hopeless state that he was in, going astray, or even the after picture and how he is blessed in keeping God's word, but I trust you've also seen in what has brought him back into the way again. And it was even what made the difference. It was the love of the Father. It was the love of Christ, even in mercy, sending affliction his way. To the end that the psalmist would be saved from further going astray. That's why he says in verse 71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. It's good for him, it's good for me, it's good for all of us if it is used to bring us back to Christ. So this is the psalmist's great transformation, and I trust and I pray that if you are going through difficult times, if maybe the Lord has brought something across your path and it's difficult, remember the one who is able to succor you in those times. Always direct your attention back towards Christ. He is able to succor them that are being tempted. It's good for us even to be afflicted. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we're thankful for how you have revealed yourself to us through the Word, and especially how you have revealed our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for how he came to this earth, born in the manger. We're thankful for how he lived his life, his perfect life, and then died that perfect death on the cross for our sins, but rose again and ascended up into heaven and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we're thankful that we have one who prays for us, even in our times of affliction. Lord, we have one who succors us, even in giving that relief, in that he prays for us. Lord, we're thankful for all that we have in Christ. And if there is one who is struggling even with affliction, and maybe they feel the chastening hand of God upon them, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the strength to look to Christ. And Lord, if there is one who does not know what it is to be in Christ, Lord, I pray grace and mercy would be known to them, and that you would reveal Christ to them through the word. And Lord, even have them to bring them into that union with Christ, whom to know is life and life eternal. Thankful tonight for the one that we can delight in. And we pray that throughout the days ahead, you would continue to have us delight in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.